Thanks again to Eric and the session for the warm welcome and invitation to preach God's word to you and for the exciting announcement for the future. We hope that things can go according to plan, hopefully as well as Naomi's plan here, or maybe better, who knows. Ruth chapter 3. Whole thing. It says this. Then Naomi, her daughter-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, and then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of the grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you've not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, and yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." And so she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it be not known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you're wearing and hold it out." And so she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." The word of the Lord. Almighty God, you are our Redeemer, and we pray that you would fill us with all faith and hope and love as we read your word this evening. May it bear fruit in our lives. We ask this all in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, this is another amazing encounter that we've just read between Ruth and Boaz. Last time we heard about Ruth's plan to go out into the field to work and get just enough for their provision for, you know, for that day, hopefully. But then Boaz exceeded their expectations. And as a result of that, Naomi seems encouraged to pursue things even further, because this time we have Naomi reaching out and concocting a plan. And we read that actually everything goes according to this plan. Ruth goes out and gets Boaz's promise that the two of them will in fact be redeemed. All of their desolation, all of their poverty, everything that they've gone through, all of their, well, as Naomi says in chapter 1, all of their emptiness will be put to right at long last. Boaz himself is off to see whether the other man will redeem them. And if he won't, Boaz will, and you certainly hope that he will, right? Boaz is, he's the man. He is the righteous, great man. Last chapter, he showed just extraordinary, overwhelming kindness to Ruth, giving her protection over that was over the top, giving excessive provision as she harvests in his field with his servants. As a result, she takes home basically a wagon full of barley last chapter and finds out that he is connected by family extension to Naomi. And wouldn't it be great if this guy would help out, if he would restore their land to him, if he would provide stability to them, give them a home and a place? And we sure hope so. And she does too, and he does too. And he gives his word that he will see it through to the end. But in addition to that word that he gives, he also sends Ruth home with a token, a physical bit of stuff of his commitment to see the matter through, that he will take care of them in the meantime. He sends Ruth home, not with this huge amount of barley over the top like last time, not with leftover bread from his table and wine, but just with a bit of barley. Compared to this super abundant over the top amount he sent last time, back when Ruth was a newcomer, back when she was a gleaner, a foreigner who came to his doorstep in need, you think that this time, now that he's committed to basically marry her, to redeem her, you would think that he would send her with more than just a few handfuls home. But he sends only these 6 measures of barley. But there's so much packed into those few handfuls of barley. The Lord is at work, as we see. And with him, good things come in small packages. As we consider our own needs as Christ's church, facing our own yearnings, our own hopes, our own disappointments, our own discouragement, even as we wage war against our sin, the Lord's provision often comes to us in a form that is maybe humbler than we would prefer. And this is by his design. The Lord is teaching us. He is providing for us as we are his. You see, he's promised to redeem us in the last day, and yet we're in this in-between state. This future, the future of ours is secure in him, and yet we're awaiting that final rest that he has in his wisdom, not yet granted. That's the case for you and me. We await his return. And yet he provides for us in the meantime. He gives us everything that we need. And so, as Boaz sends Ruth home after their remarkable encounter in this chapter, he gives her a little bit of barley as a picture or a promise, not only to her, but also to Naomi, to her mother-in-law. Your redemption is secure as well. Your future is secure. This daughter-in-law of yours is proof that the Lord is providing for you in your life. You will not be left empty. And should the Lord see fit, may I be the one to redeem you. Tell her that, Ruth. Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty. Take that message and the meal that represents it. The Lord is answering your complaint. Now, obviously, this is how the story ends this evening, and so we need to work through how do we get there. So Boaz, as generous as he is to allow Ruth to harvest in his fields with his workers, to take home provision for Naomi, as we left off in the last chapter, he's not actively pursuing Ruth as this harvest is going on. And so we see this in verse 1. Here we see that the mother-in-law, who has been moved by so much of the generosity, who knows what sort of character Ruth is dealing with, she devises a plan. She swings for nothing less than the fences with this. She is going big. She wants to find, you see that word rest in verse 1. It's rest that can only come from an established household. This is a domestic rest. This is rest that is a home built upon a marriage. In Naomi's mind, the plan she's about to unfold is to accomplish that. It's to accomplish that one thing, and that's to get Ruth married to Boaz. This will do so much more than simply address their present daily, day-by-day needs. It will actually anchor their future. It will stabilize their lives. What an amazing plan. Look at how this woman has changed. The generous bounty and provision from her kinsmen at the end of chapter 2, it's put wind back in her sails. Last time it was Ruth who took the initiative to address their needs. But since then, Naomi has a new sense of direction and a plan and a vision for what the Lord might just do for them if he sees to bless their efforts. And so this plan, this aiming for the fences plan is for Ruth to secure redemption from Boaz. And this plan is a strategy to accomplish that. And the strategy is to make it as easy as possible for Boaz to envision a future with Ruth, to envision a future as provider. She wants to make it as easy as possible for him to say yes to this tremendous idea of hers. And this idea has a lot of things working against it, by the way. It violates just about every social custom you could think of. You have a woman propositioning a man for marriage. You have a foreigner addressing a local-born Israelite. You have the poor person addressing the rich person. You have the servant addressing the master in this way with this proposition. And that shows that this plan is absolutely shameless. Failure is just about guaranteed. But tonight is their chance. He'll be coming out to the threshing floor alone after a good dinner, away from the listening ears of his servants and his household and his neighbors. Tonight's the night. He will be in a good mood. And so let's make the most of this. On top of this, Naomi instructs Ruth to make herself look as presentable as possible. All this could be yours, Boaz, is what she seems to suggest. And so we read, Naomi's plan is to wait, is for Ruth to clean herself up, to uncover Boaz's feet, and to wait for him because he will take it from there. She knows that he's a great man of honor and he'll perceive the gesture, he'll figure it out. And this is how she will secure a home, secure redemption. So go verses 2, 3, and 4. Verses 5 and 6, Ruth basically says, sounds good, let's do it. Okay, great. So verses 5 and 6, we have her agreement, and then the narrator tells us that's exactly what happens. What could go wrong? The poor, widowed foreigner is going to the open countryside at night to ask a superior, a wealthy relative who's a native to Israel to marry her. And not only to marry her, but also to redeem Naomi, her widowed mother-in-law, and all the land that she and Elimelech obviously lost in the famine all those years ago. What could go wrong? Well, we see how this plays out in the next scene in verses 7 through 15. We see what happens. It all goes according to plan. Boaz does come into the threshing floor from his dinner. Ruth does come in after him and uncovers his feet. After a bit, we read that he wakes up with a start in the middle of the night, and he's shocked to see, look at this, there's a woman here. But in the dark, he's not able to make out who it is. And so he asks a question, which is repeated again at the end of this chapter, but he asks, who are you? In verse 9. Things were going to plan up to this point. And so at Boaz's initiative, his provisional taking it from here, it's now the ball is put back in Ruth's court. She has to identify herself. And the way that she identifies herself and her purpose for being there is such a remarkable answer. She says, I am Ruth. I am your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Clear as day. Her answer positions herself in close proximity to Boaz. She's not announcing herself now to be Ruth the Moabitess or Ruth the daughter-in-law of Naomi, but Ruth, your servant, Boaz. Remember, in their first encounter, she wasn't even a servant. She was just glad to be there. She was a grateful and unworthy recipient of his exceeding kindness. But now things have changed. And she puts to word the fact that she has worked in his fields with his harvesters, with his servants, for these days, for these weeks. He effectively already has taken her under his wing in this small way, but now she asks him to take it the step further, to be the wings of the Lord that he invoked on that day at the beginning of the harvest. These wings of coverage, of course, have redemptive resonances all over the Old Testament. The wings of the Lord are mentioned are mentioned at Israel's deliverance from the land of Egypt in Exodus 19. They extend through the Psalms like 91:4, which we read last time, and they continue into the prophets. Drawing upon this image, Ruth is asking that Boaz be for her nothing less than an extension of the Lord's blessing to all of his people, protection under the Lord's strong arm here for her in particular. She's asking to come under his protection, under his provision, as an extension of the Lord's kindness to his people. And it's nothing less than a gesture, a request for marriage with redemption as an entailment, which we see in Boaz's enthusiastic reply. When she finishes her answer to his question at the end of verse 9, it's like the whole world grows silent as we wait for an answer to this audacious request. In verse 10, we hear a glowing and grateful, "Of course, I am a redeemer." He draws out, actually, its different components. He talks about the marriage component in verse 10. He talks about the redemptive component in verses 11 and 13. And he even addresses the material provision later on in verse 15. In his kindness, he doesn't shame her for violating custom by being the one to proposition marriage instead of him. Instead, he marvels aloud at how the Lord has blessed her for coming to him in this way. Earlier, we see in verse 10, she was kind enough to marry, she was even kinder to marry the old guy now instead of the younger guy, the son of Elimelech. This compliment is huge, and what makes it work is that Ruth is indeed a woman well worth serving. All that Naomi has said, Ruth has just fulfilled. She's just accomplished it. And in turn, all that Ruth has asked Boaz to do, he actually agrees to do. We see this here in verse 11. And it's because, as all the townspeople recognize, as the whole community, the whole covenant people there, they all recognize that she is a worthy woman. We see that in verse 12. She's a worthy woman. This very term, of course, was used to characterize Boaz early in chapter 2 in verse 1, and it describes as well the remarkable woman in Proverbs 31 who blesses her husband, the king, immeasurably. Pulling these things together, we see that the externals working against her are far exceeded by her evident character belonging to the Lord. Of course, Boaz will take her as his own, protect her and provide for her, redeem her, spread the corner of his garment over her, another word for the wing that you see there. Of course, he will embody the great kindness of the Lord as he's shown it to Israel when they toiled in the land of Egypt toward this one. Of course he would do that, except there's a closer redeemer. We hear Boaz put optimistically what we feel as a load of tension. He's willing to redeem Ruth, but only if the relative nearer to her forfeits his right for redemption. We're thinking, well, great, but who's that guy? He's not Boaz. Is he as good as Boaz? So with this, the plot thickens and Ruth is once again left in something of a limbo space, left unfulfilled. Yes, her future is secured. She's guaranteed redemption. If it's not going to be this other guy, it will be Boaz. But will it come through the great man Boaz, as we hope that it will? Time will have to tell. And so, before they depart the next morning, he sends her off with one last thing. He fills her outstretched coat with 6 counts of barley in verse 15. The barley she takes home this time is to augment what she's harvested from the field these last few weeks. You know, she's off harvesting with his servants day after day. And this is meant to go on top of that, to go with that. So it is a gesture of kindness. And this time it's not coming from the ground of the field that she's working, but it's coming from the man's own stockpile by his own hand. This barley is indeed a material provision for herself and for Naomi. But again, tied to it is his personal commitment to see her redeemed. It represents his relentless interest in securing her well-being until the time that their fuller union might be realized. And what a token it is. The Lord has blessed Boaz with this abundant grain that fills his storehouse. There's a heap of it for him to have, to defend it from animals, to defend it from thieves. But he's not defending it from generosity. He freely gives it from his own storehouse to the ones whose welfare he is committed to. And he sends this woman in need home full again, and she returns to her mother-in-law. And so by the time verse 16 rolls around, we see that Ruth walks out of that threshing floor with more than she ever could have imagined, more than she ever could have conceived when she was following the bitter and resistant and gray widow into a foreign land. She's coming away with more than she ever could have hoped for when she went into the field a few weeks ago to glean a few scraps of barley that day at the beginning of the harvest. She's coming back with the promise of redemption. Can things really be so good? Can redemption really be so close to hand? Will the empty widow, the pair of empty widows, really be filled? The six scoops of grain that our Moabite widow takes home, they say it all. But in case it isn't clear, we actually hear Boaz's interpretation, the purpose of these things, their aim, their goal in verse 17. As Ruth explains the purpose of them to her mother-in-law, Naomi. He sent me back with these six scoops of barley because, he said, you must not go back to your mother-in-law empty. Don't go home without this. When you go, take this with you as a token of what I will see through to the very end. Empty. This takes us all the way back to chapter 1. It says empty-handed in the ESV, but the word is empty. And it's the same word in chapter 1 that Naomi uses to describe herself, her predicament. She's lamenting there that the Lord has put her in this position. She, back then, had no hope and no future. And Boaz sends her home with a promise in the form of six measures of barley. It's meant to rebound into the life of her mother-in-law through Ruth herself. And just as it's the case that it's supposed to be received by Naomi as a token that she will not be empty, so as this story is told, it's supposed to be a token that we see that we ourselves will not be left empty by such a good Redeemer. In other words, it should send you home with six measures of hope this evening. Not only will the Lord indeed care for his people and ultimately work out all things for our good, but he eagerly gives us traces, signs, tokens, reminders, as we walk in our lives by faith and not by sight, he nonetheless gives us tangible things to see. And those things, those six measures of barley that Boaz gave to Ruth, again, as he explains it to her, there's a gravity of otherwordness when it comes to the gift that she's been given. Its meaning and its value are most fully secured, actually, when it's loosened from her own hand and when it's given to her neighbor, to Naomi, her mother-in-law, the one who is in need. So it is with the things that the Lord has given us. The things that he's given us are most fully secured, most fully possessed when we use those gifts to serve our neighbors and the household of faith first. Boaz sends Ruth home with the barley, we read in verse 17. Not for Ruth herself alone, but for her aged and widowed mother-in-law. And it speaks this beautiful word to her, that the Lord will not leave you empty. And it's that same word that comes to us. Look at this gift that we have in the Redeemer that comes from his own hand. Look at whose hands it has passed through as the faith has come to you from faithful believers. Look to the storehouse that it was drawn from. Look to the fields that it came from and who caused it to grow there in the first place. In other words, look to the Lord who has visited his people to give them generously all that we need here and now. And he does this for Israel in the book of Ruth. He does this for Ruth in the book of Ruth. It was a picture of the nation of Israel. And we know that that's the case for the whole covenant community of believers. The church of Christ today is not now what she one day will be in glory. We still have needs. We still have spiritual and covenantal needs, yes, but we also have material, bodily, fleshy needs. We have fully human needs that the Lord is faithfully fulfilling in every way, one day at a time, as a token of his kindness to us. And it's this that Naomi has sought to secure just a little bit of at the beginning of this chapter, with the plan for Ruth to propose to this Redeemer. And it's what, in fact, Ruth, by God's grace, has secured as Boaz takes her up on it. Naomi recognizes this in verse 18. We see that the course of action that she recommends for Ruth is to enter into a mode of hopeful anticipation, one of expectation and rest as she looks forward to the home being worked out and prepared. This commendation that the mother-in-law gives the daughter-in-law mirrors and answers the desire that the mother-in-law had just the day before. Such a place of belonging will be theirs through redemption, through this Redeemer. And though it's not here yet, they can wait. They can await it and rest assured. The man sent the grain as an extension of himself and as his promise, and now they await his revival, his arrival. Such a place, believer, a belonging is yours in Christ. You are not empty. You will not be left there. For your Father in heaven has provided for you your Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself the bread that has come down from heaven to his people in the wilderness, delivered fully from the slavery of the land of Egypt. And yet, the promised land has not yet been reached. He has secured your redemption. He has brought it near to you. He himself is your provision. And so don't go home empty. Leave this evening expectant that the Lord will provide for every need, that your faithful works of mercy might just be the means by which he provides for the needs of others in his body. A prayer this evening is that you would know this secure redemption that comes from the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you live and work and expect as though you really do belong to him. And so don't leave empty. I'll pray for us, and we will prepare to receive the Lord's Supper. Almighty God, you are good and your steadfast love endures forever. We rejoice that we belong to you, that you have shown great kindness to us, that you have secured our redemption in our Lord Jesus Christ. Even as we await his return, we know that you are providing for us, protecting us in the meantime, addressing all of our needs. And Lord, that you actually invite us, you draw us into that ministry so that we might be prepared. And so, Lord, we pray that you would find us faithful, that you would energize and animate our service to one another as we seek to bring glory to the name of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.